The pink smoke is in the air. That means legendary goals.
Oh, it's a cannon shot. Go ahead and give him the goal of the week.
Heroic saves.
Outstanding point blank save. You are denied.
Inter Miami Soccer is on ESPN 106.3.
Gol de Messi.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Our Inter Miami Herons' last regular season game of the season. Last regular season of the game for Inter Miami coming up this Saturday. I will be filling in for the voice of the Inter Miami Herons, Ken Lavica, once again. We are going to be live at Nashville for some end of the season action for Inter Miami, and it's going to have a lot of implications. Inter Miami right now is jockeying for position in that MLS Cup playoff, specifically on that Eastern Conference front. Now, the Philadelphia Union have locked down the supporter shield and locked down the number one seed. Philadelphia, the best regular season team within the MLS. But our Herons have a chance to be the second best MLS team in its entirety. Now, as you know, Western Conference and Eastern Conference, that's how we split things up. But Inter Miami, with a win this Saturday, it's going to put them in great position to be the second best team in the MLS. We'll get into the playoff implications that's going to have, but that's what we got going on this weekend. Inter Miami and Nashville. I was also recently on the call for the big game this past weekend in which Lionel Messi had two goals and an assist. Once again, Lionel Messi having two goals and an assist, a brace and an assist. That seems to be his MO. That seems to be Messi's MO all season long, is the two goals and an assist, which is why he's probably going to be winning the MLS MVP coming up once the award is announced. Messi won the MLS MVP last year. He would be the back-to-back MVP within the MLS this season. But folks, welcome on into Pink Smoke, where we talk everything Inter Miami, where we talk everything world football. Damian Perez, our co-host and producer. Dame, how you doing today, brother?
Doing great. How are you, Mike?
Great, dude. I'll tell you what. I'm excited about Inter Miami in the playoff run. I'm excited about Lionel Messi and him hopefully hoisting that MLS Cup playoff trophy for the first time. Obviously, Lionel Messi has not won that MLS Cup yet, being at Inter Miami for the small amount of time that he has been. But last year, our Herons losing to Atlanta after having the number one seed and winning the Supporters' Shield. Damian, the more I look at this Inter Miami team and some of the storylines, Sergio Busquets' last year, Jordi Alba's last year. Sergio Busquets, one of the best number fives in world football history. Jordi Alba, in my opinion, one of the best left backs in world football history. The storylines are there. The storylines are there for Messi. I can't wait to really get the regular season behind Inter Miami and really lock in on the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. All the narratives are there. It seems like the stars are aligning. And Inter Miami's even like picked up momentum towards the end of the season. I think the versions that we've seen from Inter Miami as of late is probably the most complete when you look at from a roster standpoint. We've dealt with a lot of injuries. We've dealt with players leaving for international duty. It's good to see the roster as complete as it is. And with the momentum that it has going into the, the decision day.
Yep.
Final day of the MLS regular season.
Judgment Day. That's what I'm calling it, Dame. I mean, how can it be? But I when you look at the MLS table in the Eastern Conference, FC Cincinnati right now, they are in second place with 62 points. Inter Miami would be able to jump FC Cincinnati because of goal differential. Inter Miami with a plus 23 goal differential. That is second best in the Eastern Conference and fourth best within the MLS. The best in the MLS is Vancouver with 29. Next is Los Angeles, LAFC, and then Philadelphia. And also, something to keep note, tiebreakers and wins. So, Dame, who's got the tiebreaker with Cincinnati?
Cincinnati does.
So
the
there
tiebreaker
we go.
In the MLS is not the goal differential. It's actual the win. It's at the actual wins column. So whoever has the most wins has that tiebreaker, which Cincinnati has one more win
which
than Inter
Miami.
Which is
great. And guess who they play this Saturday?
Montreal, is
oh,
it? Eliminated?
God. Yeah. Oh, God. They're going to win that godforsaken game. But Inter Miami right now, if they do finish as the third best team in the MLS. Here's the good news. If they get out of the Eastern Conference, they'll have home field against the Western Conference team still.
Except for Vancouver.
Vancouver,
they are
63 on the table. They play FC Dallas.
Yes.
Now, if they draw or lose against FC Dallas, they would have it over, or rather, Inter Miami would have it over them. But the rest of the teams, like San Diego, LAFC, Minnesota, and Seattle, Inter Miami would have the they would have the advantage. So that's kind of the playoff picture right now. Philadelphia and Cincinnati, the top two teams in the Eastern Conference. Cincinnati controls their own destiny with the win. They could have the second best record in the MLS, and then followed by Vancouver. Vancouver, to Dame's credit, sitting with 63 points. If they get all 3 points against Vancouver, they're going to be in good position than our Inter Miami Herons. But with how Inter Miami is playing, that's going to get us into Messi Mania, presented by our good friends at PNC, where we talk everything Lionel Messi and everything Herons.
It's time for a little Messi Mania on Pink Smoke, presented by PNC Bank. The latest match results, highlights, and everything Messi starts now. Brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Learn more at PNC.com. PNC Bank, National Association member FDIC.
Putting one behind the keeper takes more than talent. Sure, the pros make it look easy, but there's a whole lot of boring work behind it. Hours of drills, scrimmages, and dedication to the craft that ultimately pay off in a brilliant goal-scoring move. PNC Bank knows that it's the same with money. That's why they take a smart, steady, and, well, boring approach. So, you can make brilliant money moves that help you score your own goals. And PNC Bank makes it easy and convenient to manage your money when and where it works for you, including with new branch locations opening across Miami. See how keeping your money boring can be the brilliant move for you. Visit PNC.com/brilliantlyboring. PNC Bank, proud banking sponsor of Inter Miami CF radio broadcasts and Brilliantly Boring since 1865. The PNC Financial Services Group, Inc., all rights reserved, member FDIC. Now, I was on the call for last game with Inter Miami. Inter Miami, big winners in the matchup, 4-0, beating Atlanta United. Now, Damian, something happened. You and I talked about for a long time now.
About time.
Messi finally scored. Guy finally scored with me on the call. That was my sixth game calling Inter Miami this year.
You got two.
And he gave me a brace. How about that?
Yep.
So for those of you who aren't aware, obviously the great Ken LaVica, great friend of mine, love Ken to death. He's the voice of the Herons. And when he's out, you know, he lets me call the games. And Messi has not scored in any of the games that Ken has been unavailable for until this past fixture. So, Damian, let's get right into the action. Once again, Inter Miami winning against Atlanta United this past Saturday. It was the final home regular season game for the Herons. So the final time our Herons were going to be at Chase Stadium during the regular season. And Inter Miami put on a show. And Lionel Messi opened up the goal scoring 1-0 early on in the first half.
Rodriguez to Messi. Messi in the box. Shoot! Scores! Goal! Lionel Messi opens up the scoring. A finesse left footer. 1-0 Inter Miami. He's looking for Jordi Alba. Alba is on. Alba!
And you saw, Damien, you actually heard. I couldn't believe he scored, honestly.
Yeah.
You heard it in the goal. Yep. My voice cracked. I could not believe that it finally happened. But Messi scoring. By the way, Messi didn't score in the most recent fixture that they played before Atlanta. He had 3 assists in the game in their last home game in a win. But Messi getting back on track on the score sheet. So that made things 1-0 early on in the game. And then Jordi Alba. It was Jordi Alba's retirement night. If we remember, let's rewind 2 weeks ago. The last home game before Saturday, Sergio Busquets got his video, his tribute video. You saw the likes of Pep Guardiola on it saying thank you. But Jordi Alba, this was his night because he is deciding to hang up the boots as well after the season. But Jordi Alba had a chippy goal in the second half to make things 2-0.
He's looking for Jordi Alba. Alba is on. Alba, chip goal! pass by Lionel Messi, and what a cheeky chip, Jordi Alba, on Fan Appreciation Night, on his tribute night, Jordi Alba, third goal in two games, 2-0, Inter Miami.
Dude, Alba has been on fire, Damian, and it stinks that he's hanging up the boots at the end of the season, because in a league like the MLS, he signed a two-year deal. Dude, he would have been able to do that for two more
years.
That's
why it's such a surprise. Like, this was one, like, Sergio Busquets we kind of saw coming, but Jordi Alba, I mean, you just mentioned it. He re-signed, like, what, 2 months ago, 3 months ago?
Yeah, for a two-year deal.
And he plays in the games, and he's one of the best players on the field. So it was a huge surprise when he announced he was retiring.
In EAFC, FIFA, that's what they call it now. You know the ultimate team, Dame. You used to be a player of it.
He's got the pace.
They gave Alba a team of the week card.
Wow.
I copped.
Yeah, you had to.
I copped. It's pretty good.
And I feel like he plays a position where there's very few, like, top quality players. He's one of them.
He's got great play styles too, like whip pass and stuff. But Alba, God, he's been in form. He's been on fire. Hence why he's getting, you know, a dedicated card to himself in the most popular video game in the world. Dame, next up, Luis Suarez. Now, obviously, you saw the goal, Dame. You're on the board on the Deporte side, handling the pregame, the postgame, and the halftime. How about that volley goal by Suarez
it? And it's a goal that we needed as an Inter Miami. I mean, we haven't gotten much from Suarez as far as goal scoring. He's contributed in other ways as far as assisting and just being a presence in the field, but he hasn't really gotten the goal scoring down this season, so it's great to see him score such a great goal at such a high level.
And Pico, before we get into the highlight, Pico attempted to cross it in, went off a defender, tried to clear it, and then Suarez hit it off the volley right into the back of the net.
Pico crosses it in. Here's Suarez! Goal! What a goal, Luis Suarez! A one-timer outside the box! Jaden Hibbert never stood a chance. 3-0, Inter Miami.
Great goal. Great goal. The volley, catching it in the air, not letting it go to ground, and it went upper right. It was unsavable. It was an unsavable shot, and the ball taken right out of the air. That was some good stuff by Luis Suarez. And to Damian's credit, he needed to get back on track. I think a lot of guys for Inter Miami coming, you know, and I think it was an emotional game because I don't think a lot of people saw Jordi Alba retiring. I mean, my United GOAT, David Beckham, you know, one of the GOATs of Inter Miami as well that are currently running the team, he was shocked by the Jordi Alba retirement. And he was on site. He was on site with all his boys. And, Dame, he wasn't wearing the suit. He was a fan. He was a fan pitch side during the game. So I'm happy that Suarez, Messi, Alba, I'm happy that these guys had the game that they had.
You got the whole the
you had royalty
the
in the house.
Yeah, you got to narrate their goals too. Which
I did.
Is huge.
I
Jordi
did.
Alba is worth noting. This could be his last goal at the Chase Stadium.
I definitely and with this being the last regular season game that Inter Miami is going to have at home this past Saturday, that was and with Cincinnati and Philadelphia being the top two teams in the MLS and them playing in the Eastern Conference, that's a good shout, Dame. Now, let's wrap things up here on the highlights segment. Messi in the 87th minute, his second goal of the game. He called game with 4-0.
Alba, near side touchline. He plays Messi, who's in a goal! Leo with a shot and a goal! Lionel Messi with a brace in the 86th minute! Second goal of the night! Lionel Messi, what's more?
4-0, the final score against Atlanta. Dame, Atlanta's bad. Wow.
Yeah, and what a shock.
And Lati Lath, you know, $26 million he came out over from Middlesbrough.
And I remember the start of the season, we were questioning, like, is this going to be the guy that absolutely runs it for Atlanta? So it's very surprising to see the level they've been playing with.
So the 26-year-old Emmanuel Lati Lath, folks, who really is, dare I say, in the prime of his football career, deciding to come on over to the MLS, and the $26.2 million at the time Atlanta gave up, that was the highest transaction in MLS history. So, you know, this was a big deal. They brought back Almorim, too, from Newcastle. I believe he's dealing with a knock, Damien. I didn't see him.
He didn't play against Inter Miami.
Yeah, I did not see him on the bench, and I don't even think he traveled. But Lati Lath, in 29 games, 7 goals and 1 assist.
One of those was against Inter Miami. I remember that. I think it was the first game that we played Atlanta.
Dude, it was like, and the goal was unbelievable. Yeah. It was a header goal, and you and I were here at the City Place Studios. I walked into your Deporte studio.
He's dominant.
Like, dude, he's like the only person in the league that could get that finish off, that could pull that finish off. But Emmanuel Latzi-Lath, not having the season I think Atlanta United fans would want him to have with those 7 goals in 29 appearances. Something else that shocked me that I kind of forgot about that we actually reported on this show. You can go back and listen to all our shows on the ESPN South Florida app. But Leo Afonso, former Inter Miami Heron, starting right back.
Yep.
He should have a good strike on goal. Rios Novo was unbelievable in that. Do we agree on that?
Did you say he started at right back?
Yeah.
He was a striker when he was at Inter Miami.
So Atlanta went 5 in the back. They went with Afonso, Barakal, Stein Gregersen, Amador, and Chung Kwai. Chung Kwai is their young American that they really like. And then Leo Afonso, he got pulled. He had a stinker in the hook in the 71st minute. He was dealing with cramps. But, Dame, he had a shot cross-keep, and it was pretty good, but Rios Novo met it there. But, 5 at the back. There were problems with the lineups before the game. Like, none of us knew who the hell was playing on either team until about 20 minutes before the game. Shout out Kiana at Inter Miami, man. She made sure she got those lineups to me. But, like, both managers were, like, kind of making last-minute changes. But, Leo Afonso and Chung Kwai, Damien, ended up playing on that back line with Amador, Stein Gregersen, and Barakal. Messi should have had 3 goals in the game, by the way.
Yeah.
Barakal got his big foot in the way when he was one-on-one. Jaden Hibbert was dead to rights. You want to know what surprised me? No Guzan in this game.
Yeah, no, he was Brad on the bench. Guzan,
on the bench. Former United States men's national team goalie. He was famously the goalie after Tim Howard for that kind of weird time period of
and
U.S.
the
soccer.
That spoiled it for us last year.
Correct. Guzan was, to Damien's credit, he's talking about that matchup, the playoff matchup, second round matchup between Atlanta United and Inter Miami. Atlanta United won the wild card round and then played Inter Miami, the number one seed. And Guzan was a stone wall in that series. And Inter Miami ended up losing to Atlanta. But, I thought Atlanta, Damien, was going to be a team to be trifled with on that table. They were one of the first teams knocked out of MLS Cup playoff consideration. They're in bad form. Their last 5 games, they've lost 4, and their lone draw came against San Diego. So Atlanta just limping to the finish line at this point. But our Inter Miami Herons, as I mentioned, are going to be playing Nashville coming up this Saturday. Now, Dane, let me ask you this. How important do you think home field is for Inter Miami as we inch closer to the MLS playoffs? Is this one of those teams that you think can, you know, deal with not having that unstoppable home field like we thought it was going to be last year when they won the Supporter Shield and broke the point record in the MLS?
Yeah, I think it's very important, but it's also, I would say it's almost more important against the teams on the West. To have that home field advantage in the playoff, I think, is huge. If you look at Inter Miami's prior matches, the losses have came when Inter Miami has had to go on that West Coast trip. They've been uncomfortable. So to have that home field advantage, to have that decisive third game against that Western Conference team, if Inter Miami does make it to the final, to have that game at home, I think it's huge. For the Eastern Conference teams, I think we can manage. We've kind of seen these teams enough to where Inter Miami, and look, let's be honest. I don't want to sound confident, but when we look at the rosters, I think Inter Miami's roster is more complete than a lot of the teams in the MLS. So look at it from that perspective. I think the home field advantage is a lot more important against those Western Conference teams than it is against the Eastern Conference teams.
To Damian's point, Inter Miami won 8 times and drew 1 time in their first 9 matches. And these are all competitions: CONCACAF, Champions Cup, and MLS. So how they do it, folks? It's CONCACAF Champions Cup, the FIFA Club World Cup every 2 years, and then Leagues Cup. That's how it usually goes. It goes CONCACAF and then Leagues Cup. So CONCACAF is always the first competition. But the first 9 games, they won 8 and lost 1. The lone one that they won 8 and drew 1. The lone one that they drew was home against NYCFC. Dame, that was the game where Messi had 3 assists in the game, and Toto Aviles picked up that red card in about the 20th minute after scoring a goal in the 9th minute.
Yeah, and to that point, Toto Aviles in his last game, this is something we criticized him for, the fouls, the yellow cards, not 1 foul against Atlanta. So Maybe we see Toto Avalos turning it around right in time for the playoffs, hopefully.
Now, Dame, the next match, so the 10th match of the season for Inter, they lost at LAFC. You mentioned that they struggled going on the road in these Western Conference fixtures. Let's count them, okay? So I'm not going to count Sporting. Is that okay? Not going to count Sporting Kansas City. They're technically, I believe, in the Western Conference. They could be even be in the Eastern. Regardless, that was a CONCACAF matchup. We're not going to count that. LAFC, they lost 1-0. Moving on to Vancouver, they lost 2-0, Dame. So that's two trips that they went on the West Coast that they lost. So they're 0-2 on West Coast trips. I'm going to call Minnesota a West Coast trip. Is that fair?
Yeah, at least it's a trip.
They lost 4-1, one of the worst games they played all year. Damien, 3 so far. They're 0-3. They drew San Jose in one of the weirder games you'll see, 3-3. Damien, remember, that was the first time we saw Baltasar Rodriguez. Yep. Rodriguez came in and had a wonder goal, but that's 0-3-1, or 0-1-3, excuse me, draws come first. 0-1-3 in 4 Western Conference matchups. And then after that was the FIFA Club World Cup. And yeah, those are the only time. Damien, the 4, or rather, let's throw Seattle in there in the League's Cup. That counts.
3-0.
Yeah. So 0-1-4 in 5 matchups on the West Coast. Wow. Wow. That's more than just what's the famous detective saying? There's no such thing as coincidences. I mean, geez, Inter Miami can't play in that Western Conference.
They don't like those trips.
And to be fair, a lot of those godforsaken stadiums have turf.
Yep.
And I mean,
Vancouver turf. Montreal, I'm pretty sure, turf. Minnesota, turf.
Dame, I was a bozo, high school football player. I hated turf as well. It was a nightmare. I can't imagine playing world football on turf.
It's very different.
Dude, in American football, I don't want to say it's straightforward. Like, if you're a receiver and a DB, a quarterback, a running back, you're dealing with a lot of it. Like, if you're a lineman, you're just starting and going. With world football, I mean, everyone's moving. Everyone's stopping. That's why I see so many hamstring injuries, right? When you look at it, like, it's funny because, like, everyone complains about the NFL and how many injuries there are in the NFL. Dude, go look at the Prem right now. Go look at La Liga. Go look at some of these leagues.
And they're soft tissue issues.
Yes, because they're consistently playing. Some of these teams are playing 2 games a week. They're playing full 90-minute games 2 days a week with extra time. So I'm with Damien. So once again, the question I asked Damien, how worried is he? Or rather, what's his feeling with Inter Miami heading into the playoffs in the MLS Cup? I don't want to go out west. I agree with you. And good news is you got to get through the east first. You won't see the west until you get out of the east.
But I feel like those are the expectations for Inter Miami.
Yes,
to get out of the east.
Dude, the expectations is to win the cup.
Anything less would probably be considered a failure at this point.
I'm going to be a little unfair. The expectation is to win the MLS Cup. It is. I'm sorry.
And especially after the CONCACAF Champions, we didn't get the silverware. Leagues Cup, no silverware. So this is it. This is the last opportunity for Inter Miami to leave this season with something.
Last year, Dame, Supporter Shield and Leagues, or no, 2 years ago was Leagues Cup. But in Messi's first 2 years, they won silverware. They won Leagues Cup, and then they won Supporter Shield last year. This would be the first year having Lionel Messi on the squad that they don't win a piece of silverware. And obviously, before Messi came, Inter Miami never won anything. Our Herons, never won any piece of silverware. But especially with how that League's Cup ended, God, 3-0 to Seattle. And I'm sorry.
And a loss to Vancouver in CONCACAF Champions as well.
Yeah.
Because they went off and got absolutely destroyed.
Eviscerated by Cruz Azul. Yep. How about Cruz Azul then getting eviscerated in League's Cup 7-0 by what, Seattle? Seattle beat them 7-0? Yep. Who ultimately ended up winning the competition? I don't know. Listen, Seattle's got good players, but like Paul Rockruth was like running roughshod on Inter Miami. I had a real problem with that. That guy stinks. Paul Rockruth stinks. All right. Aldon, all right. Aldon's a solid player. He got cast with the United States men's national team. Fair play to him. But Paul Rockruth, they were running a promotion in Seattle. If you brought a Lionel Messi jersey in and you turned it in, you'd get a free Paul Rockruth jersey. Ken and I look at each other and go, who the hell? Ken LaViga, voicing the Inter Miami Herons, and I look at each other and go, Who the hell
like
would
trading
do
that? In a $100 bill for what? A dollar?
It's like trading in a brand new Nintendo Switch 2 for a Game Boy. Actually, some people
color.
Would be
not even. But the,
hang
the
on,
Switch,
Dame.
The color.
Some people would be more into the Game Boy Color, believe it or not, because they're tough to find. A good one's tough
That's
to find.
Vintage.
But you get what I'm saying. That's like trading in like one of the better things for one of the a very lesser thing, to say the least. Yeah, I am talking Paul Rockruff.
And that's just not Rockruff.
On Pink Smoke.
That's a lot of players in the world if you're comparing them to Lionel Messi.
Correct. Correct. Messi could still play in any league. Messi could still play in any league. Now, quickly, I know. Listen, I love Lionel Messi. For the record, I love Messi. I appreciate all the opportunities that one of the GOATs is giving me. But did you see Ronaldo scored yet again for Portugal?
Oh,
the chase is on for 1,000 goals.
Who'd they play?
The chase, it doesn't matter. The chase is on for 1,000 goals for Cristiano Ronaldo.
He's so lucky to be
He's
in the European qualifiers.
He is unbelievable.
He is so lucky to play the European qualifiers.
Now,
come on.
Damien, folks, is a hardcore Barcelona fan. The worst type, and cannot stand Cristiano Ronaldo. Myself, I'm a Manchester United fan, and you know we made Cristiano to what he is before he went to Real Madrid. He won his first Ballon d'Or with Manchester United the year United won the treble. But neither here nor there. Neither here nor there. Ronaldo looked good, and we'll talk a little bit more about world football in the next segment. But coming up next, we got to hit the injury report for our Inter Miami Herons, presented by Lytle Rider Smith, Ivy, and Farnrath. We appreciate our great friends at PNC Bank for sponsoring a little Messi Mania. Once again, Messi Mania, where we go through all of the big storylines with the great one. His goals, his assists, and everything going on with Inter Miami. Lionel Messi in his last matchup, 2 goals and an assist. We'll play more of the highlights later on in the show as well. Pink Smoke on ESPN 106.3.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Our Inter Miami Herons wrap up the season this weekend at Nashville. I will be filling in for the voice of the Inter Miami Herons, Ken LaVica, coming up on Saturday. It is Nashville and our Inter Miami Herons. It's going to be a 6 o'clock Eastern time start. Nashville's one of those weird cities where it's Central time. I always saw growing up Tennessee and whatever. I thought that was far enough east to where it was still Eastern time. But then my boss in Peoria moved to Nashville and started working remotely, and he was still on the same time slips. So that's kind of where I learned that Nashville was Central time and not Eastern time. But 6 o'clock, we'll have your pregame on your Inter Miami radio network coming up at 5:30 this Saturday, as our Inter Miami Herons are going to be in a big one that has a lot to do with the Eastern Conference playoff seedings and jockeying for playoff position. But it's time to hit that injury report presented by our great friends at Lytle Rider Smith, Ivy, and Farnrath.
Now it's time for the Inter Miami Injury Report, presented by Lytle Rider Smith, Ivy, and Farnrath.
And now a fight for it, one right back by Inter Miami.
Lytle Rider Smith, Ivy, and Farnrath, representing injured people and their families for more than 35 years. Visit foryourrights.com.
That's foryourrights.com, folks. Lytle Rider Smith, Ivy, and Farnrath have your back for over 35 years. Visit foryourrights.com. That is foryourrights.com. Damien, I'm starting to think I'll never see Alan Abando in an Inter Miami jersey again at this point.
You know, he actually came back to practice. Was
Did he?
Set to be like 100% ready to roll. And in that same practice, got hurt again.
So I saw him in the... So Damien, where I call the game next to us is like where the players that are injured watch the game. Alan Abando is up there.
In street clothes.
He looks so young up close. He's 18.
That's 19. Why it's so surprising that he's getting these hamstring issues, because you usually see this with like the older players, the players who have kind of been playing long seasons. I feel like Obando's just starting.
He literally looks like he's 15 years old. But Alan Abando, 19 years old, one of a promising young striker in world football, just has not been able to get rid of
such
that.
Such a shame, because I feel like he would have had a huge opportunity with Inter Miami.
He looked great against Dallas. The last game he played was against FC Dallas, and he scored a goal. But he's just not been able to figure out that hamstring injury. And then another player who I don't think we'll see this year, I believe he's still under contract, so you're going to see him next year, is Davi Ruiz. He injured that hamstring for Honduras. And Dame, we're at the point now where he would only be playing if someone gets injured or DEFCON 5 happens, a red card. You know, he's not going to be a starter for Inter-Miami in the MLS Cup playoffs.
No, but I feel like with Silvetti out, I feel like he would probably get more minutes. They would probably have to move to last.
So when is that? When is that U-20 World Cup ending?
They actually play today. Argentina's playing, I believe, in 25 minutes.
What is it, the semi?
Semifinals. Argentina-Colombia.
So we're rooting for...
We're rooting for Colombia here.
We're rooting for a loss to get Matteo Silvetti back. Oh, man. So Inter-Miami, those are the two players on their injury report presented by Lido Rider, Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. Alan Abando, Davi Ruiz.
Now, this is not an injury, but I'm curious to see what happens moving forward with the goalkeeper situation. The last time we saw Ustari was in that 5-3 loss for Chicago. That was very, very frustrating. And since it's been Rocco Rios Novo. That's a tongue twister.
It is.
In the last two games, and I think he's done very, very well. So it's interesting to see what Mascherano does moving forward.
I think Rios Novo, the last two games.
Time has come.
Here's the thing. The last two games I saw him play, he has definitely been better than Ustari.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Especially with the last image we got from Ustari in that,
howler that went through his legs against Chicago. Oh, now, it's sad because Oscar was a hero at the FIFA Club World Cup. Agreed?
Yeah. And there was a point where, I mean, you could say he was the best goalkeeper in the MLS.
He made the penalty save against that Saudi Arabian team. I mean, he was fantastic. But he has just not been able to figure things out as of late. And that's why Rios Novo has been getting the opportunity. It's a good shout by Dame. Damien, so by the way, that was the injury report presented by Letter Writer Smith, Ivy, and Fronrath. For over 35 years, they've been serving South Florida and their injured families. Visit foryourrights.com. Dame, have you seen this wonder kid from Mexico?
Yeah.
Gilberto Mora.
Mora.
So apparently he's been attracting interest from elite clubs
Europe. He's Pedri Jr. I don't know if you've seen his highlights.
He's that good?
Pedri Jr., man.
He
so
didn't
calm
play.
On the ball. He looks like a vet. And he's only, what, 18, 17
did
years old?
Did he play in the Gold Cup?
Yes, he did.
So he was that midfielder.
I don't think he started. He didn't start. But
well,
he kind of made a name for Toluca, I think, is where he played.
Let me go back.
Or Tijuana, one of the two.
Let me go back to Team USA. Because I know in that final, Mexico started a young Mexican player. I want to make sure I'm right on this. It's a game that they lost 2-1 to Mexico, which was a disgrace, by the way. So Jimenez and Alvarez scored in the game. Yeah. Morris started. He started at right mid.
Wow.
He had a 7.2 match rating, got pulled in the 75th minute.
And he's what? 17, 18?
Yeah, he's 18 years old.
18 years old.
He's 18 years old and some of the best teams in Europe. Let me get you a couple of names.
I know Inter-Miami was in the mix. I see it tough for him to come to Inter-Miami with all those names that you're about to name off on the list. But Inter-Miami was there. And, you know, in a crazy hypothetical to come play with Leo Messi, if that's who his idol is, this is your opportunity to do it.
Dame, Barcelona and Real Madrid appear to be the clubs leading the race for Mora's signature. Can I be honest with you? I'm upset. Where's the United States player that's getting attracted by Barcelona and Real Madrid?
Yeah.
Why aren't we, like, listen, McKinney is solid for Juventus. Who's Tim Way is playing for Serie A. I don't think he's playing for Juve anymore.
No.
Or did he go to Liga? Do me a favor.
I think he is on Liga.
Liga, by the way, the French league is, I like to troll that Farmers League outside of PSG. But I think.
You got Sargent in the, what, championship?
That guy stinks. God. And who, Norwich, isn't that? He's the redhead that plays for
Timothy
Norwich.
Timothy Way is on Marseille. So yeah,
thank you. Marseille, dude, Marseille also has former Manchester United player Mason Greenwood.
Yep, and he's shining.
He's good. He's playing good. That's a good team. Two teams in that league, Marseille.
He is on loan, though.
PSG.
Worth noting.
He is on loan. So he's still with Juve. Mm-hmm. Who was I talking about? You were talking about Josh Sargent? God, that guy stinks. If I had to see him play up top one more time for the USMNT, I'm going to lose my mind. You want to know what the sad part is, though? I say he stinks. Dude, he's got solid numbers for Norwich year in and year out. But he comes in the national team and he's got two left feet.
That's why you say what you say.
And then he comes onto the national team and he has two left feet.
Yep.
He doesn't know up from down. But where is the United States player that's getting injured? I guess it was Puligoat, right? Puligoat's, I'd take Puligoat over this kid. We see wonder kids the time from Mexico, and they don't turn into anything.
When we look at how Pulisic was coming up when he was younger for those Garmin teams.
What's my rule?
He looked great.
Not Pulisic. It's Pulley Goat Pulley on Goat. This show.
Pulley Goat. I apologize.
Thank you. That's our guy,
Forgive
dude.
Forgive me.
I don't think you like the United States men's national team.
No, I do.
Team.
I
no,
do. I promise you, Mike.
You
do.
Don't.
I root for
You're
them.
Uruguayo. Man.
Yeah, but I still.
You're
I mean,
Uruguayo.
United States is still the country. You know, they're.
You
they've
told
given me,
me
all the opportunities. You know,
you told me that the USMN, the USMNT needs to get serious.
Well, they. I mean, think about what they did for that Gold Cup. I mean, that's inexcusable. How can you defend that? You can't defend that.
I can't. And McKinney and Wea weren't consistently playing for Juventus. Now, McKinney, dude, every single summer, Juve tries to get rid of McKinney, and then he turns into one of their best
the
players.
The reality
Am
is
I
that-
wrong on that? Am I wrong on that, though? I'm talking about Weston McKinney, folks, a midfielder, when it was part of the quote-unquote golden generation for the U.S.
Yeah.
Dude, every single year, Juve tries to get rid of him, and then he turns into one of their best
yeah,
players.
Yeah, and that, it's similar to Sargent. I mean, he does great on Juve. He does great for his club, but he comes to the U.S. men's national team, and he doesn't shine.
McKinney's been a lot better than Sargent, but I understand the point.
I feel
do.
Like the
McKinney's
player
been
that,
all right. If I'm being honest, McKinney's been halfway decent.
Yeah, but there's one player that always meets expectations, and that's Tyler Adams. If there's one player we
But he's
can
never
out,
fit. He's never available. He's
injuries
always injured.
Have been a problem.
That like that's the one thing. So my... One of my best friends, Pat, he's like my, he played college soccer like you, Damian. I respect his opinion. Let's just put it that way. I respect Pat's opinion. And I nonetheless grilled him. I'm like, why aren't our players ever healthy? Like, Tyler Adams is always hurt. It seems like Chris Richards outside, give credit to Chris Richards. He showed up to that Gold Cup. Fair play to him. All right.
He's looking great on Crystal Palace. Too.
He is. He's a edged in starter in stone for one of the best teams in England right now. But I nonetheless complained to my buddy Pat, who knows a lot of world football. He goes, Mike, that's every team that deals with injuries. I disagreed with him. I said, no, we never have our best players available when the time
now,
comes. Someone is always injured.
Is it serious injuries or are they injuries that they just don't want to play?
That's
for?
Right. Like, that's the question, right? That's the million-dollar question because. The Butcher, Lisandro Martinez, Manchester United center back, has not played for United because he was injured.
Messi played 90 last night.
And then international break comes around and he's going 90 for Argentina, but he's injured. Like
Messi played 90 last night against Puerto Rico.
Update me on the CONMEBOL action.
I mean, that was a friendly. It was against Puerto Rico, 6-0. Argentina's already qualified. They're qualified, comfortable. They were the best team to make it out of the CONMEBOL. So... They really don't need these games other than preparation. But, like, how much can you really prepare against Puerto Rico? And how much do you have to see from Messi at this point?
Yeah. They don't need him for a ridiculous friendly. But,
no,
I
but you'll never tell Messi to sit out a game with Argentina. Doesn't matter the circumstance.
Doesn't
matter what's
to.
Ahead.
He doesn't want to.
That's the priority.
He doesn't
and
want
that's,
to.
And that's the difference between players around the world and the U.S. men's national team.
Messi's,
that's the difference right there.
Messi's Ronaldo-esque in that factor for his national
team. I mean,
huh?
Yeah. Ronaldo always shows up for Portugal.
Always.
No
Guy
matter
is
what.
Always there. Answers the bell. You got to respect it. You got to respect it. Dame, what are the story? What if Ronaldo wins a World Cup this year with Portugal?
Oh, my God. You won't see me for like 2 months.
Do you hate Ronaldo that much?
No, but it's just I don't feel like. And listen, we can really get off on like a whole tangent.
Here's my issue. I have no base to like go after Messi. You know what I mean?
Messi's the GOAT. He solidified it with the World Cup.
Here's my thing. Lionel Messi has been great to me. Fair? That's why I don't want to talk about this conversation because you got to realize, man, I got into United football before Ronaldo was even on the team. I fell in love with Rooney right when he came on over from Everton. They had a friendly in Northeast Ohio. My dad took me, and I'm like, I like that team.
And
my dad at the time, I was 9 years old. My dad goes, Mike, they're one of the best teams.
Yeah, that Ronaldo was very easy to fall in love
with.
And
then Ronaldo came the year after. And I'm like, oh my, I'm watching these games. My dad and I are watching these games on Saturday because my old man had off on Saturday. He'd have to work Brown Sundays on Sunday. We'd be watching the Premier League. I can't even remember what channel they played on growing up. I don't think it was USA. It might have been USA regardless. We would watch all the fixtures. So like, you know, I was like, Dame, it's my guy. That's the one player I would get starstruck for.
Did you watch the 2009 Champions League final by chance?
We were outmatched. We were outmatched. Damien's referring to the 09 Champions League where Barcelona completely dispatched Sir Alex Ferguson's United. But that the United already won one before that against Chelsea in Russia.
But that was a Messi versus Ronaldo head-to-head Champions League final right there. Boom.
Messi's team was just... did you see that Barcelona team? Granted, there are goats on United as well. It's tough. There was a red card in that game. Don't even get me started. Don't even get me started on that game.
You got the iconic Messi header where he took his shoe off. Yeah. That light blue shoe that lives in the memories of a lot of people.
Who's got the most goals in Champions League history? Who's the best player?
If we're talking about teams.
Answer this. Who's the best player in Champions League history?
In my opinion or in general?
In general. The stats.
Stats-wise, I'll give it to, yeah.
It's Ronaldo.
You said it, not me.
Who's won it the most? Who's won it more times?
Real Madrid.
Ronaldo. Ronaldo had like 50 goals those years they were winning it. But, Dame, it's like... it's better than the Jordan and LeBron debate because it's so much closer.
Right.
I'm the LeBron goat man because I think he's the best player ever. The best winner ever is Jordan. He has the most silverware. 6 times, 6 trophies.
That's a great hypothetical. Imagine if Michael Jordan, LeBron James played in the same era and Michael Jordan was, what, 2 years older, so they were basically right there in age. That's kind of the comparison right there. You hit it right on the head.
Yeah. I still think it's closer than we think with LeBron and Jordan, but that's neither here nor there. Folks, let's take a timeout. When we return, we'll wrap up the show with This Is Pink Smoke on ESPN 106.3.
This is Pink Smoke, brought to you by PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865. Here's Mike Rizzo.
Final segment of Pink Smoke, 888-760-3776. That number to call on in if you want to chime in. You're about 3 more minutes of showtime left. But we do have to go around the MLS presented by our good friends at Audi. Folks, what are you waiting for? Test drive that brand new Q6 e-tron today at your local South Florida Audi dealer or visit AudiUSA.com to learn more. That is AudiUSA.com to learn more. Pull into that lot in South Florida in style. Now, Damien corrected me. How about that? I was shocking during our MLS table.
It's the only league
earlier.
That does it. So.
So FC Cincinnati right now is ahead of Inter Miami in second. Inter Miami sitting at third. Philadelphia is the best team in the league. No one can beat them. They won the Supporters Shield. They're the number one team in the MLS. They're the number one team in the Eastern Conference. But FC Cincinnati is that number two team. They are ahead of Inter Miami right now, as well as Vancouver. But the good news is Vancouver is on the Western Conference side. If Vancouver wins and gets all 3 points against FC Dallas, that'll give them 66. Now, Dame, who's got the tiebreaker, Vancouver or Philadelphia? I believe it would be Philadelphia.
Yeah, they locked in the Supporters Shield.
Yeah, so Philadelphia, if Vancouver wins, it would go Philadelphia, Vancouver. And if Cincinnati wins, it would go Cincinnati. Then it would be our Herons as the fourth best team in the MLS. It's why we play the games, though. Vancouver's playing against FC Dallas. Dallas stinks. Or actually, I say they stink. They're a playoff team, but they're going to be playing in the wild card matchup coming up.
But they're basically playing for their life right there because you have you have Colorado with 40,
yep.
Dallas with 41, and they can even move up if things go their way and jump to that seventh spot and not have to play that wild card. So FC Dallas is actually a sneaky good opponent.
And San Jose actually has 38. Say everyone loses. Say Salt Lake, Rapids, they both lose, and San Jose wins, they would be in the playoffs. So crazy implications on that MLS table. But when it comes to our Inter Miami Herons, if they win, Philadelphia wins, Cincinnati wins, and Vancouver wins, they will be the fourth best team in the MLS. If Vancouver loses and Cincinnati loses and Inter Miami wins, they will be the second best team in the MLS. So, folks, a lot of drama on that MLS table. But Damien and I, we both agreed. The focus for Inter Miami, regardless of seeding, is to get out of the Eastern Conference. Get out of the Eastern Conference. All right? You don't have a piece of silverware this year. You have not won a competition. Last year, you won the Supporter Shield. Now, we could sit here and talk about if the Supporters Shield is a big trophy or not, but I certainly think it is. Because in any other World Football League, the team with the most points usually is the team that wins their said soccer, football, World Football League.
Right, there's no playoffs.
But I think Inter Miami this year, they understand that. Last year, they went, they went all the way to the wall, okay? And it got 73 points. They broke the MLS record of most points on a table.
Best regular season team
ever,
in history.
Ever. They did that last year. You want to know what Inter Miami reminds me of? LeBron. Who cares about the regular season? Just get in the playoffs. Just get in the playoffs.
Marathon, not a sprint.
And I think, if the season ended today, Damian, Inter Miami would play
Cincinnati or Nashville.
Nashville.
Yep.
Because four would play five. How this happens, folks, 2 plays 7, 3 plays 6, 4 plays 5, and the wild card round is 8 and 9 to play the first seed. Columbus has locked in the 9th, or rather, they could be 8. That game, their final fixture is going to come down to who gets home field.
Now, the way things are laid out, Inter Miami can run into Orlando in that second round.
They're 0-3, or rather, 1-3.
Yep.
They beat Orlando in the League's Cup semifinal in South Florida, but they have also lost to them twice within the MLS. Folks, you hear that music? That means it's time for me to go. Sometimes friends have to go away, but a part of them stays with you forever. Remember that in this life. Inter Miami in Nashville this weekend. You will have your pregame on 106.3 starting at 5:30. Your pregame on for all you Spanish speakers at the Deporte side starting at 5 p.m. with our good buddy Damian Perez. That'll wrap things up, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll see you later. Bye.